Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining with me in the studio is Pat and Chris, and we are excited about today's program. My goodness, if you missed yesterday's program, you want to catch it on the torch. We talked about what is happening, prophetic happenings, Syria, Israel, and the great awakening that is coming, the third great awakening. And you don't want to miss that. We shared about not giving in or giving up, but you just need to persevere. No matter what is coming against you, no matter what the lies of the enemy are today, you got to persevere. Well, we're excited. Listen, if you haven't done this yet, we want to encourage you to do this. You want to go to the VFNTV.com. Go to VFNTV.com and sign up today for the Torch newsletter. This newsletter goes out every single week. And what you get when you subscribe, when you sign up for the newsletter, you get VFN Radio's best of the best for that week. You get all of the highlights in that one email. It's a great way to stay encouraged. It gets sent to you weekly. And guess what? You can always forward it to your friends and family. You don't want to miss it. Go right now and sign up at VFNTV.com and click sign up. Well, my goodness, guys, I don't know if you saw this, but LG just put out a new commercial pad. They said it was a commercial about an interview. And so what they did is they set up this, I believe it's an 84-inch screen television. Okay?
84. You know what that is?
Tell me.
That's 7 feet.
7 feet.
Yeah.
That's just way too big.
That's huge.
That is huge. Well, what they did was they cut out a window, if you will, in the wall behind the interviewer, and they slipped in this 84-inch screen, Chris, behind the interviewer.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's a window, okay? And so the interviewer's back is facing the television screen, which the interviewee, I guess, the person being interviewed, is you know, viewing what he or she thinks is an actual window, what's an actual television screen. Got a little video for you. Kind of want you to see what happens. They say they title this the world's scariest interview. You'll have to decide whether this was just a cruel prank or is this a marketing scheme. But you got to look at this. This is interesting. Go ahead and play that. Massive. Now, this is a job
Adelante.
Interview. It's in Spanish. So they're looking at the video screen of maybe in Manhattan or something.
Bien. Ingeniero comercial.
Así es.
Perfecto.
Licencia conducir la tiene al día?
Sí, al día. Ya, perfecto. Entonces estamos bien claro cuáles son los propósitos de nuestra empresa.
Oh my goodness.
Bueno, principalmente.
¿Tuvo algún problema llegar acá ahora?
No.
They're looking at the world being destroyed.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
¿Hay alguien?
What they were looking at an 84-inch screen television that was made to look like a window. They had it trimmed out and everything, and the interviewer sitting behind them, but behind this television screen that they think is a window, and they're supposed to be interviewing with this person, and they're looking at a city skyscraping look, and you're looking at a view of the city, which they think, okay, and all of a sudden... They see what looks like maybe a missile or an alien invasion, a meteor that strikes the city. I guess they had noise and sound and everything, and the people were just terrified.
Oh, my goodness.
But you got to see, I think LG's trying to make a point here that they have a crystal clear
You remember
screens.
The last one they did?
Yes.
The elevator floor?
Yes. Yeah. That was brilliant, too. They laid the floor down with television screens.
Mm-hmm.
So people think they're walking in and just standing on a regular floor, but what they're standing on are television screens, and
then the floor falls out from underneath them.
The floor falls out, tiles fall out underneath them, and it looks like they're falling down in the elevator, and people are just screaming and going nuts. LG, I don't know if this is brilliant marketing or, my goodness, these pranks, but let me tell you, a lot of people have seen this video. I believe 1.4 million people have seen this video. It's going to be available for you on the Torch. You don't want to miss it. We're going to talk about so much today. We really want to get to talk to you about some really interesting things that are happening today in God's News, Behind the News, as well as some encouraging word. But, you know, I wanted to share about this young lady by the name of Mariah Peters. Chris, I don't know if you've heard of her. I didn't hear of her till recently. She is a singer, and most recently she had the opportunity to be on one of those singing contestant shows where they kind of audition you and kind of see if this is something that, you know, they select you to be on this televised program.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a believer, and she has her testimony on I Am Second. I really want you to hear this testimony because... You know, you see so many things happening today in the secular realm with singers and just all kind of different things. I want you to listen to this young lady's heart as she kind of shares her encounter and what has happened since she's had that opportunity.
Simon, Randy, Kara, and Avril Lavigne. I walked through the doors and was side stage, about to stand on that floor where you sing your song. Sorry, I didn't do my hair today. I kept singing and got to the big part, and they stopped me, and I said, okay. And I discovered my love of music when it had the biggest impact on me. And I think that was in sixth grade. I went to a camp with my church, and the music, it was just a guy on a guitar, but he played really well and beautifully, and it was a worship song, and I had my first like music plus God really powerful moment. I was like, wow, like this is powerful. And so that was when music really impacted me. And then God kind of took me on a bit of a journey where I was able to use music to impact other people. And it started with just leading worship at my church. And then it got more serious when I sung at church for an Easter service. And after the service was over, this man came up to me and he was like, oh, he looked like he just got out of a gang. He was walking towards me. I got a little nervous, and he started crying, and he just said, that song that you sang, like the Spirit moved my heart when you sang that song. And I was like, okay, God, this is something special. This is something powerful, and I want to be a part of it. One day, I came downstairs, the application and the map and everything out on the kitchen table. The American Idol auditions are at this time, at this place, on this day, we're going. I was like, all right, let's do it. I get excited. There's a few months between the first audition, when you see like the huge arena full of people, and that moment on the screen when you see the contestants in front of the celebrity panel. That whole process was covered in prayer by my family, by family friends, and I really believe that it was that prayer that gave me the strength to be as bold as I was during that whole process. I was very open about my faith, very just excited to share that, saving my first kiss until the day I get married, just things like that. And in the end, when I made it through those few months of auditions and I got to the celebrity panel, those were the things that they criticized. They complimented my voice, complimented my look, and then started saying things like, so we see on your bio here that you've never kissed anybody. They said, we see here that you teach a girls' Bible study, and tell us about that. I'm like, yeah, I teach a girls' Bible study on my public school campus, and it's amazing, I love it. And then the comments came, you're trying to be too perfect. I think you need to go out into the world and make some mistakes and get some life experience and come back. You need to go out and kiss somebody, and that'll make you feel sexier, and then come back. After hearing that, I was just like, all right, God, your will be done. And I walked out of the room. That's when Ryan Seacrest had the camera on me. How did they say no and all this stuff? And part of me wanted to say, well, what the heck? Was fighting the tears. And then this small part of me ultimately said, God has opened up the doors up until this point, but now he's closed them. And I'm not going to question any of this because I know that he has a greater plan. And by God's strength, I was able to say that in my mind and in my heart. I was just like, God, why did you take me through these months of auditioning when I could have been studying for finals and enjoying prom? But there was a reason, there was a purpose, and I found out exactly what that purpose was the moment I exited the building. And a man came chasing after me and said, hey, I heard what you said on camera about God, and I'm a believer, and I heard you singing through the doors, and I really want you to meet somebody. Really, from the time that I had stepped out of the auditioning room to going down an elevator to exiting a building, was the amount of time that it took for God to open the next door and do a complete miracle. Since then, I have signed with a label. I signed with the manager, and I'm engaged to Joel. It's 100 years old, from the 1920s. I don't know what a carrot means, but apparently it's a big carrot too. Sounds good to me. I am saving the first kiss until the wedding day. Ugh, so much more difficult than I thought it was gonna be. But I think that I should carry through and follow through what God showed me. I'm just glad that I found a man who would not only accept the standards that I've had, but want to create new ones with me. My fiance has been so supportive and so wonderful in knowing this is what God has called us to do.
Is that awesome?
Wow.
Just a few months. Yeah, a few months later after taping this, she did get married. And she had that first kiss on her wedding day.
Wow.
That's what it says here. But, you know, this is remarkable. You know, I love to hear stories like this and testimonies like this because, you know, here she goes out to try this audition and they tell her, you got to go kiss somebody. You're trying to be too perfect. the world is always going to see that way. They're always going to see that if you're living for God, they shouldn't try to be perfect. No, I'm just trying to honor the Lord. I'm trying to do the right thing before God.
Right.
And to think that they tell her, go ahead and just kiss somebody. Just go ahead and give your emotions to someone so that you can be quote-unquote sexier. It's like, what is that?
Right.
What is that? And so in the time that you see where people are just throwing, you know, themselves everywhere, it's refreshing. It's refreshing to see this young lady who stands for God, who stands for what she believes in,
mm-hmm.
and says, I'm not even, forget compromising myself, you know, with sex. Or I'm not going to kiss. I'm not going to kiss somebody.
How often do you hear that?
I'm not even going to kiss somebody until I actually get married. And so what she thought was supposed to be a rejection, mm-hmm. right? What she thought was going to be, you know, the biggest thing that, oh my goodness, she didn't make it,
mm-hmm.
wind up being really moving into her destiny. She didn't want to be at a record deal. She's a Christian artist. Mm-hmm. We're going to listen to one of her songs. It's pretty awesome. I think that the title of her album is I Choose Jesus, and that's one of the tracks. But she also has a song called Well Done. But what was really cool about Mariah is that she was a woman of principle before the Lord, and she wanted to keep herself pure and right before God and didn't want to get corrupted. And because she didn't compromise her standards, her devotion to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
God blessed her. He blessed her with, you know, the opportunity to do what she wanted to do and exercise her giftings so she could be able to sing and do what she's called to do. But then God blessed her with a husband, you know, and a husband, a man that respected her standards and her values. I mean, listen, if you set values for yourself, whether you're a young lady, whether you're, you know, young man, young or old, if you set standards for yourself before God and before others and you stick to them, people can honor them. And so, you know, that was so awesome of her. She said, listen, these are my standards. That's it. I'm not going to do that. And if you mm-hmm. want to be with me,
right.
your lips ain't touching my lips right. until I get married. It's just not going to happen. And so that was so, so cool. I want you to listen to a song that Mariah Peters just put out. And her name is Moriah, M-O-R-I-A-H, Moriah. Mm-hmm. And I want you to listen to it. It's called Well Done, Mariah Peters. You're listening to VFN Radio.
I'm headed down this narrow road, chosen by a few. And all that I know is you told me to follow you. I'm taking a risk and leaving it all, not knowing what I'll go through. But I'm not alone as long as I follow you. So when my life's a leap of faith, I can hear you say, well done, well done. I'm gonna chase you, Lord, I'm gonna show the world your love. Whoa, I'll run, I'm gonna run this race to hear you. They're gonna find out soon. If they're following me, then they're gonna follow you. So let my life speak loud and clear. Lord, I want to hear. Well done. Well done. I'm gonna chase you, Lord. I'm gonna show the world your love.
Mariah Peters. My goodness. What an awesome song. Run. I'm going to run this race to hear you say, well done. I mean, this is awesome. Listen, it's no chance or by accident. Listen, if you honor God, God's going to bless you. You can stand for truth no matter what a place you find yourself in, no matter what of the seven mountains that you find yourself in, whether it's in the media and entertainment and family and business and government, you can stand for truth and you can stand for the Lord and just being yourself. My goodness, a television show, a reality show that shows normal everyday people, I guess, if you will, Doug Dynasty, I don't know how normal and everyday they are, but but they show a genuine family that wants to put God first. And it's now the most watched, most viewed ever reality TV program. But they honor Jesus. Listen, no matter where you find yourself, honor the Lord, be true to God, and watch what God will do on your behalf. And He'll use you. He'll use you to touch many people for Him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can public school students be stopped from wearing religious t-shirts? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a public school teacher, 28-year teaching veteran.
Great.
We have many Catholic students, and they wear very religious t-shirts. They have been told they cannot do it because it's religious.
They're not saying you can't wear t-shirts. They're saying they don't want religious t-shirts worn.
Right.
Look, there's some good news here, and that is, and we do need to hear from the students on this, Tom, so get the parents to give us a call. Here's the good news, though. We had a case at the Supreme Court, I argued it just 2 years ago, that involved political expression by teenagers. And the court reincorporated some decisions from the 1960s that said students have the right to freedom of speech and they don't surrender that right at the schoolhouse gate. And we won that case, by the way, just 2 years ago. Unanimously, all nine justices recognized the student free speech rights.
To learn about a student's right to free speech in school, visit our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the Word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the Great Suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are, and the expectation of God that He has of us to increase the size of His family, His kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you, if you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share, and God wants to manifest His glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org, vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back on what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to Himself. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And my goodness, you know, it's Rosh Hashanah, guys. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the Jewish New Year. And it's so exciting. I mean, it's so exciting with everything that's happening in the Middle East right now. The whole world is focused on what's going on. This is the time. It's the Rosh Hashanah New Year. It's a time, they say it's a solemn time and a joyful time. Solemn because of the awe of judgment, right? And joyful because it really marks a time where, you know, they can become to be joyful. And it represents hope for the future redemption of Israel. I mean, my goodness, the Redeemer has come. But we're believing that our brothers, our sisters are going to come to the full revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As the Messiah. And I want you to listen to the shofar, and hear the trumpet blast. The sound of the shofar. It's powerful. And you know, this season, CBN has done a really wonderful job with this. They actually celebrate this every year in their ministry as well. They do a whole, you know, service to celebrate. It's really nice.
Uh-huh.
But you know, they share that, you know, this marks really the beginning of the High Holy Days, and that how Rosh Hashanah falls on the first day of the seventh month, and generally the first kind of week in September. From the first to the, actually, it's period from the first to the anywhere between the first and the last week of September. And in 1999, we actually shared a little about this yesterday, that it Rosh Hashanah landed on 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And it literally means beginning of the year. And, I mean, it's a time right now where Israel is once again coming into a new year. And imagine every year, one of your greatest concerns as you're looking to the future, you're thinking on the back of your mind, you know, that your nation, you as a people, are continually under attack, and you live with the real and present chance,
mm-hmm,
that evil is going to strike you, that terror is going to hit you or your family or your friends. Your city, and my goodness, for sure, you know that your nation.
Mm-hmm.
And as they get ready, you know, they're coming into this new year. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu really came before the people. And you got to listen to this address. I mean, you're talking about leadership, and you talk, I mean, I really, really like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And I like how he goes forth and just kind of shares it and says it the way it is. And he took a moment to address the people, took a moment to address Israelis, and regarding Rosh Hashanah. Listen to his words.
I want to wish Jewish communities around the world a very happy Rosh Hashanah. I hope the new year will bring the Jewish people everywhere security, prosperity, and peace. The New Year is, of course, a time for taking stock. It's a time for reflection. And as we look back over the last year, there have been many achievements of which we can be proud. Just in the last week, we have witnessed some remarkable achievements. We've successfully launched the Amos 4 communication satellites. You should know that Israel is among a very small and elite group of countries capable of launching such satellites. This is yet another testament to Israel's technological prowess. Today, Israeli technology and innovation are sought-after commodities around the globe. And as a result, and despite the world's economic downturn and malaise, Israel leads the developed countries in sustained growth. Israel stands out economically and in so many other ways. Our young people continue to make us proud. Israeli high school students have brought home numerous prizes from global competitions, including gold, silver, and bronze medals from the Science and Computer Olympics. These are important. They're intellectual sports events, and I think they're very, very indicative. In international test scores, Israeli youngsters lead the Western world in math, and they're in the top tier in science. During a period in which the rest of our region is experiencing unprecedented turmoil, violence, extremism, we in Israel held elections and we formed a new government. I'm proud to serve as its prime minister. We remain an oasis of democracy, an oasis of stability, of tolerance, and liberty, where the rights of all are protected, where all are equal under the law. Of course, we have many challenges too. We have to make sure that our economy continues to grow, that all Israelis enjoy the benefits of that economic growth. And we also have external challenges. We seek to advance peace with the Palestinians while maintaining our security and ensuring that the peace will be a real and enduring peace, not a ceremony, not an agreement that we celebrate for 2 minutes and then collapses. We want a real, genuine, and enduring peace. And this must be anchored on recognition of Israel as a Jewish state and on our security. This is what ultimately is needed. Now, of course, as we look around, we see the situation in Syria. It's of great concern, great tragedy. We're following developments there very closely. And while we're not involved in the internal conflict in Syria, we will defend ourselves if it is necessary. We will act with resolve to protect our people. No one should doubt our resolve. And of paramount importance, we also see Iran continuing to pursue its nuclear weapons program. And this poses a grave threat to Israel, to the region, to the peace of the world. Iran's nuclear program must be stopped. We simply cannot allow the world's most dangerous regime to obtain the world's most dangerous weapons. We already have enough indications of what this could do. In meeting these and in meeting other challenges, I have no doubt that Jewish communities around the world will continue to stand by Israel, just as Israel will continue to be there for the Jewish people everywhere. For Jewish unity is a major source of our collective strength. And together, no challenge is too great. We've acted together. We've defied the laws of history. We've overcome such tremendous odds. And Israel is such a thriving, bustling, prosperous, modern, advanced country. And you can look in a very, very far distance to the west and to the east and to other directions. And you see that Israel is a beacon of stability and modernity and progress. And it's because we're united. As together, I believe we can continue to achieve great things for the Jewish people and for the world. So as we gather with family and friends to welcome the new year, I wish you all a happy new year. We say Shana Tova Mtuka. It means a good year and a sweet new year. So have both.
My goodness. Don't you love this guy? Don't you love the prime minister? I mean, speaking with definitive measures, clarity, and assurance, that's what you want in leadership. Mm-hmm. You want to know that the person at the head of the ship here knows where he or she is going and has resolved to lead. And on this Rosh Hashanah holiday, he's letting the Israelis know all over the world, and in particular Israel, that, hey, listen, we're keeping a watchful eye on what's happening in Syria and in Lebanon and, of course, Egypt and Jordan. So, but you go ahead and enjoy this Rosh Hashanah holiday. We got this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No reason to fret. And he talks about continuing peace with the Palestinians. And I love what he says about real and enduring peace, not just a ceremony. And my goodness, so many people have, I hate to say it, in this country have pursued ceremonial peace treaties, gatherings, photo ops, but no one's pursuing real, true, enduring peace that's going to stand for the long haul. And it's hard to to really pursue peace with those that really don't want to be peaceful. That's
right,
the whole thing.
Hate your guts.
Right. But they're clear in what they want. Israelis are clear in what they want. And he makes a really clear and definitive statement when he says that we will, although they're not involved internally, make no mistake about it, if Israel is attacked, that we, you know, we will defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about that, and that no one should doubt their resolve. And I tell you, I wouldn't doubt Israel. I wouldn't doubt them. I wouldn't. I'd be I would not underestimate them. God is with them, and Christians all over the world stand with them, and we urge Americans to stand with Israel. We want to bless all of our Israeli brothers and sisters in Israel and all over the world a happy Rosh Hashanah and a new, great new year, as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, a sweet new year.
Listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.
Come follow me. Come follow me. That's what Jesus said. He said, come follow me. What does that mean? It means to be a disciple. It means to follow him. Listen to Francis Chan as he talks about the reality of today's church, and we have to begin to change ourselves and begin to follow him. I'll tell you more about it after Francis. Listen up.
You know, it's just so strange to me what we do in church sometimes with the commands of God. When you were a kid, remember playing Simon Says, you know, or Follow the Leader. Remember Follow the Leader? Some of you that are younger never played it because you can't get the app on your iPhone. But it was something physical. We used to go out and play, you know. We used to move. And you remember Follow the Leader, you know. Leader jumps, you jump, you know. Or Simon says, pat your head, and you pat your head. It's so weird how in the church we change everything. In the church, you know, follow Jesus has become a different game where, in following Jesus, you don't actually have to do what he does. You just have to study it. Jesus Says is completely different from Simon Says. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it or study it. What about making disciples? What about actually becoming like Jesus? Man, I've got four kids, and if I asked one of my kids, if I told my oldest daughter, hey, Rachel, go clean your room. And what if she comes back to me, you know, an hour later and goes, Dad, I memorized what you said. I can quote it verbatim. In fact, I can say it in the Greek now. She knows I'm not going to go, oh, that's awesome, baby. Or if she says, Dad, I had a bunch of friends over and we did a little study on what it would look like if we cleaned my room. Here's all the notes. It's going to be a 5-week study. You guys, she knows that doesn't fly with me. You guys, why were these commands given? wasn't forced to memorize and study and on and on and on and just study them to death. And then at the end of our lives, we're going to go, God's going to say, wait, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to baptize. How many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you teach to obey everything? Because that's what I asked you to do while you were on that earth.
Just think about it. You think about it. Although it's kind of funny, it's kind of true, isn't it? Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 7, 22 through 23, he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then he'll say, and he'll tell them plainly, he says, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Listen, we have to know him. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to abide with him. Apart from abiding him, it's impossible to do what's required of us and expected of us. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like it. Listen, we have a plan for you. A simple abiding plan. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your free plan today. That's at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, I'm John, and welcome back from the break. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And you know, guys, I was thinking, today, more than ever, a believer living in today's society, There is so much opportunity out there. You're bombarded by so many things that, you know, believers, I believe, faces a lot of temptation in just this world that we live in. I mean, there was a time, because of less media, that you were just left to your own thoughts.
Yeah, right.
Now that's
what's there dangerous enough?
That's a whole exactly. That's a whole other issue all by itself. But imagine that you were just left to your thoughts. Now you're not just left to your thoughts, but you're left to suggestions, and direction for those thoughts.
Right.
And there was a time, but believe it or not, for the younger generation, that there was no more programming, if you will, and TV shows actually, you know, ended. It was like over, you know, like a certain time at night, the TV was off.
You have to hear the Star Spangled Banner at midnight.
That's it.
And then fuzz.
And then, yep. And then when you wake up early in the morning because you're ready to watch cartoons, you had to wait. Because there was that countdown thing going on screen. You had to wait for that to go off before
7 o'clock.
That's it. Before the cartoons would come on.
Was it 7?
Yeah, I set my alarm, boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. I mean, it wasn't.
Come wake me up.
It wasn't 24-hour TV. It wasn't just get up anytime you want. There weren't channels dedicated to food, all 500 of them, or channels dedicated just to cartoons and whatever else is out there. It was just limited. But today, it is not a strange occurrence to get a TV package now. A TV package that has 500 to even 1,000 channels.
Crazy.
I mean, my goodness, what could you possibly be watching on 500 channels? I mean, there's a channel for everything. And so you look at all this stuff, but look, you just don't have TV. I mean, listen, it gets to a certain point where it's like, do you really need, even if you didn't see anything bad, I mean, do you really need to spend 3, 4, you know, I don't know, however long, hours in front of the television? And so you just not only have the television, you also have the internet. My goodness. I mean, look how things have rapidly progressed. You just don't have the internet, the dial-up. You have a high speed that's only going to get quicker now. And now you have multiple transportable media devices that you can carry in your hand, around the house with an iPad or, you know, tablet, laptops, and now maybe we'll get to this in the same hour, They have wearable multimedia, like watches and neck pendants that you can carry everywhere, okay? And it's like, wait a second. I think this is becoming a little too much. And technology alone, you know, presents the believer with just simply more opportunity to be tempted. Now, you know, we don't want to throw, you know, everything on media, because the truth is that what the monks found out, and this is interesting. Some of the monks found out that, you know, they some of them have pledged to live a consecrated lifestyle. They were going to give up everything and live an isolated existence and just spending time with prayer and in study and seeking God. And they thought that possibly they could remove themselves from sin. They just didn't realize that they still couldn't eliminate just one thing, themselves. Paul said that, I try to do good, but evil's right there with me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get rid of yourself. And so God's word warns us regarding temptation. You know, it's so important today because, I mean, people are just throwing themselves at everything. And you realize, listen, you know, God warns us. He warns us in regards to temptation. And, I mean, think about it. It all starts, the downward spiral all starts with the temptation. I mean, ask Adam and Eve.
Oh, yeah.
It all starts there. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, God's word says, so if you think that you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. I was thinking about that, and I thought the interesting thing about here is that the warning wasn't to those who were shaky, but the warning was to those who were thinking that they were standing firm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Careful, careful, careful. Listen, be careful. Be careful that you don't fall from your perceived position of safety. I mean, we're living in a time more than ever, where we're going to need to walk in complete humility. And humility is total dependency upon God and respect for other people. We have to walk openly before God, and we don't want to, you know, have a position in our mind that, yep, I'm standing firm, I've got this down. Look, careful, 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 because you may just fall. And I love what Psalms 139 says. It says, verse 23, you know, search me, O God. You know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. And Chris, lead me into the way everlasting. You know, there's a time for us to search our hearts and ask God to search us, to mm-hmm. shine the light of God in our hearts to show us things that are not pleasing to him, sin in our life, so that we can get things right. God is interested in you getting things right with him. And God's word continues says that there is no temptation. No temptation that has seized or come upon you that's not common to man. You know, one of the biggest lies the enemy puts on so many believers is to think that what they're going through, what they're experiencing, right, is the own, you know.
Or as unique.
Unique experience. You just don't know how bad I have it. Dude, do that. I mean, it's sin. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's temptation. It's, you know, nothing new under the sun. Come on now.
That's right.
Let's get it together. There is a big difference, though, between sin and temptation. Big difference. Big difference. You know, the word temptation means alluring, enticements. And one of the definitions that I thought real interesting was, it's the desire to have or do something you know you should avoid or flee.
That's good.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's very good.
The desire to have or do something you know you should avoid or flee. Some other words or synonyms: lure, an invitation, bait, you know, seduce. Think about it. No allurement. Take the word temptation out. No enticement, no invitation, no seduction to sin has come upon you except what is common to man. Is only, my goodness, only three categories all fall in: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This is not rocket science. Right. Although the enemy may try to lie to you, right? He may try to deceive you and think that you're all alone, or that what you have is, or this is the bad one. No one is tempted like me.
Right, right.
And we're talking about believers. We're not talking about someone that doesn't know the Lord. I mean, if you don't know God, you're going to throw yourself to everything because it's all about you, and you're going to throw yourself to everything under the sun.
That's right.
You're gonna wallow in it. You're not even going to even see it as temptation. You're going to just probably see it as normal because you're just trying to gratify yourself.
That's right.
But temptation from a believer's perspective is that the Bible says that all have sinned. Romans talks about how we have all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And sin from a believer's perspective is that I've been saved from sin, I've been redeemed from sin, and the life I live now, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but instead of living a lifestyle of habitual sin, I occasionally do sin. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're made of dust, and we need a Savior, we need to be in a place of humility and repentance before God. But the difference is that, you know, we occasionally sin. It's not a lifestyle of sin. And when we do sin and we're convicted by the Holy Spirit, that we, our natural response is to repent, is to ask the Lord to forgive us and then change the direction of what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's been causing me to go in the wrong way and causing me to sin.
Right.
And bringing really a separation in the level of intimacy between me and God, right?
Right.
But this is what God's word says. He says that he is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. You know, temptation alone is not sin. It's what you do with the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, two scenarios. Adam and Eve were tempted, and they actually, what? Fell into sin. But Jesus, the Bible says, was tempted in every single way, yet he did not sin.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it twisted. The difference is what you do with temptation. Listen, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk more about this and the key to what you need to do when you're facing temptation. When we get back in the extra hour, you don't want to miss it.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFNTV. You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFNTV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side. John, check it out. I was going out to eat last week, and I got to sit down at my table, you know, setting up my napkin, and this girl, she just starts running up and down at the different tables, and she's like, "Hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app?" I'm like, "The what?" She's like, "You know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it." And I'm like, "Well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone." She's like, no, I use your phone to find my phone." And I was like, "Oh, they got an app for that?" She goes, "Yeah, they got an app for that." I was like, "Oh, okay." Well, it was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking and she started telling me about the app I needed to get, so I got that app and I go, "Well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get." And she's like, "Really?" I go, "Yeah, there's an app. VFNTV.com. And she's like, "Well, how do I get to that?" I said, "You can go right on Android or you can go on iTunes and type in VFNTV.com. Start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that." And we start talking. She's like, "Wow, there's an app for that." I says, "Yep, check it
out. There's an app for that.
VFNTV.com.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light, light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it and you can get a perspective and you go, "Hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation." They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing, and then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.